This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. My guest today is Alina Yearly, the founder and CEO of EMY Consulting LLC, serving startups, small companies, and government agencies with financial management consulting services. Over the past 9 years, the EMY team has helped organizations improve their overall business processes and infrastructure through tailored solutions from an auditing, risk management, and compliance perspective. Alina, I am so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I am absolutely thrilled to be here. I can't wait to share my story, lessons learned, anything that you would like for me to cover. So let's get started.
Well, before we start, I just want to share a little story with my listeners, how you were the inspiration behind my journey into the government sector. I'll never forget this. It was back in 2020, right when the pandemic happened. We were all locked in our homes. And I remember I got this email about a webinar. And I went in, and it was like a HUD-related webinar. And I joined and I listened, and you were one of the speakers. And you inspired me from that moment. And then I connected with you through LinkedIn, and you were kind enough to get back to me and give me advice and give me pointers as to what I could do to start a sector in my marketing agency and start serving to the government and the federal, at a federal level as well. So I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for not only being an inspiration to women like myself, but also willing to share your successes and the tricks and the tips that you've learned and used to help you get to where you've gotten. So thank you. I'm excited to start learning more about your journey. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. With pleasure.
So I love starting out with the inspiration behind your consulting firm. What was the why?
Oh, there are so many whys. When I was young, I always had this little entrepreneur churning around in me. And you know, then I embarked on various careers, first in banking and then in working for a nonprofit, worked in healthcare, ended up at the Big Four, this one being KPMG. And I started to think more and more about what is it that I really wanted to do. So what I found was that I always seemed like I had to give something up. So I'm very diversified. And you know, I love to do training. You know, I am an auditor. I'm in risk management. I like to help businesses improve their processes. But it seemed like in the positions that I had, there was always something that I just couldn't do because it wasn't on the radar screen. It wasn't part of what they wanted me to do. A perfect example is that I'm a global trainer, and I would train audiences overseas through KPMG when I was there. I loved doing that. But then when I left KPMG because I was recruited away for another position, that wasn't something that was on that job description. So darn, I couldn't do that. You know, and then I go to another position and, well, you know, darn, I couldn't do risk management. So there was always something there. And then it just happened that, you know, about 9 years ago, I was working for a small consulting firm and they were going through a huge transition. And they had asked me to, you know, actually start up certain areas within their operation. But then they had a new CEO, came in, had a different idea. That ended up getting pushed to the side. And I thought, why don't I just do what I want to do? You know, I always have had this in me. I, you know, prior to starting this firm, I also had embarked on a very different kind of an organization. I actually had an online retail business that I started concurrent with working at KPMG, which was crazy enough because I was working 24/7 for them. And then I had this retail business on the side. That really was another inspiration point for me that yes, I can do it. Plus, for that small business, I was actually attending conferences and I was giving presentations. So it started to then get me thinking, well, okay, it's time. And so 9 years ago, I started with zero revenues, took that ultimate leap. And the other thing too is, you know, it's very risky. And I'm a risk manager by training. So I'm taking the ultimate risk by setting up this firm. And, you know, and then I started to talk to people. I had built up a particular reputation. I started a firm that was in alignment with what people knew of me to do, you know, i.e. internal audit, controls, risk management, compliance, like all this fun stuff. And I thought, okay, you know, I started from there. And I started as a subcontractor. So that's kind of how it all started and came together. And it has fun days and it has crazy days and it has lunatic days and it has days that are fine. So it's like totally all over the map, but it certainly is quite the journey to take.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. Let's go back to the time that you said you wanted to do a few different things, but you felt like you had to give up one to do the other. I feel like a lot of women struggle with this, especially as they become mothers and get married and have a family. It's just, there's so much on our plate that it's not that we think that we have to give up, but we're almost forced to have to give up certain things in order to do what we need to do, because just there is only a certain 24 hours in a day and, you know, we have to sleep and all of that. So what advice do you have for women who are listening right now and are going through something similar and they find that they want to do a few things? They don't want to just stick to one thing, but they don't know how to sort of make it happen and they don't want to necessarily give up. You know, you can't give up being a mother. You have to be a mother, right? You need to take care of your kids. But how do you squeeze in this extra project that you want to work on? Or if you're trying to write a book, how do you make time to do that? What advice do you have for them?
A few here. So one of the first things that I did was I came to the realization that, number one, I was not going to boil the ocean, right? You know, that expression, don't boil the ocean. I wanted to stick to my knitting. I also started to not offer services that were so exhaustive that I would be exhausting myself, or I would have a hard time marketing those services. So I'll read a quote to you. I did prepare, but I will read a quote. It's from a co-founder of Google, and he said, "We are currently not planning on conquering the world." So number one, you know, when you're first starting and you feel like you have this, you know, great idea and you jot it down and you write your plan, you know, I keep my strategic plan very simple. It's only one page. You know, I know that even though I do strategic planning as part of what we do, you know, and people, you know, want a much more comprehensive document. For me personally, I keep it simple. So before you start thinking about how you're going to implement the idea, you know, it's great to be able to take a step back and say, okay, you know, what is it that you know that people want? You know, if you go from, let's say, what I did, which is auditing, you know, and I decide that I want to set up an engineering firm, I'd be a little hard pressed to figure out, you know, what is it that people want from, you know, that kind of an operation. So part of it is, and I know it's easier, I know it's easier said than done. And so any advice that I provide, and I'm more than happy to talk to people offline about this, that, you know, anything that you do, like, make sure you feel ultimately comfortable with it, no matter what it is. The other is I kind of wish, frankly, I wish I had a book that I just got introduced to. I wouldn't have had it back in 2013 when I started it because it just came out a couple of years ago. It's called Effortless. And I'm reading this book and I'm like, oh my goodness. It gave me and opened my eyes to, number one, I've been connecting dots my whole life. And in fact, if you go on my LinkedIn profile, you'll see all these dots that are connected somehow. And somebody told me once, Elena, you're a career strategist. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's what that's called, like all this connecting of the dots. But anyway, getting back to your question and not to get off topic. I started with having very realistic expectations. You know, I didn't freak out when, you know, I knew that, okay, I wasn't going to win, you know, this project or that project. You know, it was just me. So how am I going to, number one, go to market, also check out your competition. Now, my competition, to be honest, in what I do in financial management, in, you know, performance auditing and risk management, my competition are the big four, but one of the ones I worked for. In fact, they even told me at one point that they consider my firm, my little bitty firm, well, it's not little bitty anymore, but my little firm as competition to them. Wow. Because I have a reputation. I have a reputation for, and I mean this, like quality, you know, deliver on time. I just have these really high expectations. And they know that. So they actually are afraid of me, which I'm like, okay, that's amazing. And they told me that point blank. That's why we don't team together, because like they're afraid I'm going to outshine some of their people, which is lunatic crazy. Yeah. But what I'm getting at is that, you know, by virtue of being very clued in to who else out there is doing this, there is an opportunity to, number one, borrow ideas, you know, without outright stealing them. I'm not saying that by any means, but you can, you know, basically look at what they're doing and what are some of their success strategies. But then again, you know, again, make it real for you. I mean, we started in, like, for instance, now I have not only my home office, I have another, you know, office in Northern Virginia, which is where I live. And my business office is there, you know, but I didn't start that way. You know, I started in my little teeny room, you know, and I knew what I wanted to do. And then I started to basically through word of mouth. I mean, I didn't even have a website yet. So, you know, I really, really started in such a micro way. And after about, and frankly, and you don't all have to do this, but I was a subcontractor for 4.5 years. Yeah. And I'll tell you why in a minute. I know we want to talk about government contracting and what that's like. You know, I then came to a conclusion, and we'll talk about what was that moment, like what was that thing that I found out that I really needed to do to make the leap to where I am today. But I really, again, was very thoughtful and I really had to, and I'm a go-getter. Like I'm type A, I go a mile a minute. I have a gazillion ideas and it's hard to slow me down, but I also am very realistic about what we need to accomplish, what will get us to that finish line, and recognizing who else is out there, what they're doing, and then how do I succeed, you know, in my way, you know, as a small women-owned business. So that's a long-winded answer to your question, but I hope that helps.
And I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less, because with your financial background, it's important. It's important for anybody who, you know, as they're putting their strategy together, to really assess not just the financial part of things also, because a lot of them have all these ideas, but then they have to support the family. And they're like, well, I really don't know. Do I give up my job and jump into this and take the leap into this business? Or do I start on the side and so on? So I think it's good to be realistic and also do competitive analysis. I always tell my colleagues and my clients, don't reinvent the wheel. Don't. It's going to take you years to do that. Just go find the ones that are doing the best who are the best in the industry, learn from them and improve whatever they're doing, make it different, make it your own. And so that's great advice. Now, you spoke a little bit about Effortless. What is it about that book that you'd say gave you this aha moment?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, reading that book, and I've been told this for years, because us as auditors, bankers, you know, people that have brains like I do, we tend to sometimes make things a little more complicated than they need to be. So I pick up this book. I actually learned of this book from a gentleman who was facilitating a board retreat. I sit on a couple of different boards. And so he told me about this because I was saying, well, you know, I'm new to this board and, you know, I really, you know, I'm trying to do a number of different things. I want to get on more boards and do other things too, you know, and see where I can become an advisor on a different, you know, different boards themselves. But I, you know, I really need to figure out and make sure that I have the time to do all these things that I want to do. So he's like, well, check out this book. What was really eye-opening for me was the fact that, okay, you know, I, and this is a real good example. I am thinking about a book series. I've been thinking about it for a while. But then, you know, when you're like, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to actually do that when I got all these other things going on? I'm running a firm, you know, I'm teaching for another organization, and I teach 20 plus virtual classes just since January, wow. Multi-day classes. So, you know, there's a lot going on here. But what I found was that for any particular task, this is where it really resonated. It's like for any given task, rather than going and saying, well, it's going to take me 15 steps to do this, what he espouses is, well, how come you can't do that in 2 steps? How come you can't do it in 3 steps? Why does it take you 15 to do something where you can get to the finish line in 3 steps? The other is that when, you know, I am, you know, working with other entrepreneurs, and this just happened, we're working on a joint proposal. You know, this other woman-owned business came to me and said, hey, because of your training, and she and I have worked together before, she came to me and said, well, because of your training, there's an opportunity. It's here in Virginia. Let's go after it together. So I looked at it, we check all the boxes, and that's an important point. Sidebar, make sure you check all the boxes whenever you go after an RFP. Okay, so back to the story. I look at it, I say, yeah, we're going to go for this. And I did something differently this time. She wants to be the prime because she wants to build her prime portfolio as a prime contractor. And I'm like, sure, that's great. You be the prime, we'll be the sub, because we're always being flexible in that regard. And I always want to open doors as well. You know, I want to do what I can to be able to support, you know, other women and other businesses that, you know, are trying to go after a particular market. But what I did differently this time, and this is what the book taught me, is when she sent to me the draft of the proposal response, I looked at it and said, this is her baby. This is not mine. So I'm going to go with the flow with whatever it is that she's come up with. And basically, I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, maybe I would have done a little bit differently. But this wasn't my idea. This is hers. So, you know, park the ego to the side. You know, I don't need to have people do things my way. You know, I need to be open to what it is that she wanted to do and how she wanted to present our credentials. It was fine. Now, before I read this book, I may have taken a little bit of a different approach. But those are the sorts of things that, okay, rather than me taking a gazillion hours to say, well, we need to rearrange this, we need to rearrange that, we need to do this, we need to do that. No. 40 minutes? You know, that's where that book came into play. Simplify, you know, what it is. Yes, we wanted to go after the opportunity together, but make it easier on yourself. And I don't have to impose everything, you know, on that particular situation. I do the same with my direct reports. I want them to shine. So what I do is, like, I, without, you know, every turning everything over, you know, we're currently facilitating a strategic planning retreat, or we just finished this week. And I told her, I want you to get the opportunity to do things that I've been able to do before. Like, I facilitated a lot of retreats. I've written a lot of strategic plans, because that's part of what I also do. But now, again, I can offer through my firm that I wasn't able to do when I was with others. And I let her take the lead, because I don't have all the answers.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.